Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, it's time for lulls. No guests, no frills, no topics. Just Brick and I raw dogging it for 60 minutes. Let's go.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
On second thought, saying Brick and I raw dogging it for 60 minutes probably isn't the best cold open.
No, I was going to start by like unzipping my, okay, when in Rome.
This is where you got to write in the chat, pause. how are you doing, Brian? You're looking
metaphorically.
Fresh in your Lulz hat. Yeah.
Metaphorically raw dogging it. I had something to talk about right before you said raw dog. Now I can't remember.
It just completely threw it out the window for you.
Completely out the window for me. Oh
yeah, I got to apologize. I fat fingered the start time for the live stream so everyone was here a half hour early. I tap into StreamYard and it's just like the discourse is popping. People are talking about Tank Dell's practice status. I mean, we're talking about, you know, coding and Sims in here. I mean, they all handled themselves fine without us for 30 minutes.
I didn't even see that. That's actually what I wanted to talk about, though, is ChatGPT.
Yeah. What's going on with ChatGPT for you?
Well, I've just been using it a lot lately. I don't know if you saw, I put up ownership and actual projections last week for the NFL because I'm messing with ChatGPT all day, coming up with my own stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, if they're talking about it in chat, maybe we should talk about it here. Like, I know you're messing with it too. I don't know how much, but.
Not extensively. I'm curious though what kind of stuff you're doing with it, because I know you've been using it since it initially launched. I mean, we did a show about it because it came out, isn't it, like on the 1 year anniversary, because it was right about when April was born, and I kind of missed the initial wave. Everyone was like having fun doing the memes, and that was like about this time last year, right?
Has it been that long?
I can't. It's been a year. Yeah,
time has no meaning to me anymore, Pete.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So what have you been, what kind of new stuff have you been
doing? The 4.0 I thought was a pretty significant increase. I don't know. There's a couple like directions I want to like go with this. One is just like the overall AI talk in the world, right? About regulation and what we should do with it. And then also just like actually using it. I guess we could start with like actually using it is I thought the 4.0 was a significant increase. The 3.5 I thought was annoying. It doesn't remember the conversation very well. It's not very, I don't know, bright or whatever.
Yeah.
4.0 I thought was a big upgrade. And also it could search the internet now. So just like my Googling has like decreased dramatically. I wonder if anyone else does the same thing. Like just go to ChatGPT now. Like, yeah. It's just so much easier than looking at the first, you know, four ads on Google and some bullshit sites that they're promoting, you know, like
right.
It takes you a while to get to a real general answer that all you're looking for a lot of topics. So it's pretty useful for that. for coding, it's pretty solid now. You have to have a base of like Python or R or something, like one thing you kind of got to know a little bit, like how to like at least how to start it and where things go and stuff like that. Otherwise it's not going to work for you. And then like statistics and stuff like that, you also need that base too, like on how things work and what's a regression and like how could you improve on a regression and what the numbers mean and how to adjust them and stuff like that. So it's nowhere near this doomsday level prophecy that a lot of people are talking about. Like they are a long way off.
Well, we got to talk about, because we haven't even had a chance to discuss some of the craziness with the OpenAI stuff and Sam Altman leaving, coming back. And then did I see something, and I haven't dug into it enough, but it was like part of the reason for all of this controversy there was they had stumbled upon like some crazy advanced AI technology, and Sam Altman's like wanting to push things too fast and some people want to play it more conservative. Is that how you understand it?
Basically, I also like kind of thought the board members were part of like the effective altruism community. And so like, I guess there's some division. And after that, this little episode, the effective altruism people are starting to freak me out a little bit. Like I thought it was listening to them in the beginning and hearing some of their ideas, but now it's like, man, maybe some people should get these people under control.
Has any community taken a worse PR hit, you know, between Sam Bankman-Fried and Sam Altman? It's like, man, effective altruism, they need to hire a new PR guy.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, just let's not use those people in these bots anymore if we can. I like the division, I guess, is like some of them are accelerationists and some of them are regulationists or something. Yeah. I don't know what the word is, because the accelerations are, if you want to do the maximal good for humanity, you want to do this in the quickest amount of time. And the other side's the exact opposite. If you don't want to doom humanity to whatever this could become, we want to slow it down and regulate it at the optimal percentage. And I guess that was another part of them butting heads.
Where do you fall on that as far as like, do you want to see like regulations in place and to make sure that there's kind of check marks with this AI stuff so it doesn't just, you know, unfurl unchecked? Or are you kind of like, hey, free market, let everyone play and see what the fuck happens?
Well, where do you think I stand, Pete?
Brian, let me just ask a question for the audience and remind them that you're a libertarian again.
Well, I'm not really a libertarian, but that's neither here nor there. The problem is like, who's going to regulate it? Like, you know, as soon as Elon like came out with his own AI, I haven't tried it. I don't know if you guys have tried that Grok yet, but as soon as he came out with it, I'm like, okay, no wonder he's so fucking interested in regulation of AI, because he wants his piece of it. I mean, I don't know, that's cynical, and I like Elon generally speaking, but like, it's like, oh, you think this thing's so dangerous, but yet, you know, you're gonna release your own model too. Like, you're not that scared of it, are you, Elon? And so, like, regulation always turns out to benefit like a small group of people who actually profit from it. Do you honestly think like Joe Biden and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, et cetera, are capable of understanding this stuff, much less like actually regulating, even if they were? Like,
they can't even understand crypto when that stuff right. is getting.
Give me a fucking break. You know, like a Sam Bankman-Fried will come in and womb once again easily, you know, like, and that wasn't even how the system works. That was like slightly, it was partially how it works. But like, I mean, so I have no faith in them regulating anyways. And let's say they do regulate it. You think that's going to stop China? You know, or some dude in his basement, like, it's, you know, I mean, give me a break.
Well, it's like nuclear weapons, right? Where everyone says we want these regulations and these, you know, check marks in place, but then secretly everyone's developing, you know, the best thing they can.
But you don't need uranium or anything. Right, you could do it in your basement.
Yeah.
Like there'll be people literally doing it in their basement in America, even with regulations. So, I have absolutely no faith in it. Like, yeah, if you could guarantee me that they would scale it to a way that it wouldn't become self-destructive across the world forever, sure, sign me up. But that's never gonna that's never gonna fucking happen. So I think it's inevitable. I'm not even like a doomsayer. Like if you use, and first of all, ChatGPT is not an AI. It's a language model. It's like not anywhere near sentient or anything like that.
Right. Of course, but isn't the no one's actually saying that. They're just saying it could get there at this trajectory, maybe quicker than people would think.
I think they're propagandizing the masses to think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of the people who are like, I don't think Elon thinks that, but he's not like going out there making the huge distinction. Like, slow down. Let's not be hyperbolic here. This is a language model. This is like a machine learning. It's closer than that than AI.
Yeah. Right?
Why aren't any of those guys saying that? Because that doesn't benefit the narrative to get regulation to get your piece.
Yeah. So back to the nuts and bolts, you've been using it to kind of build out a system for ownership projections.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a pain in the ass, but it's cool. Spot for me specifically when you're in this middling skill level between someone who actually can code, but someone who's just kind of recreational but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hire somebody to throw my 10 ideas at them and pay for all that for what, you know, like what gain do I get here?
Right.
Cause it might suck too. You know, there's a risk of that. And so, it works pretty nicely for me. Actually being a little bit better of a coder would be super beneficial, but you also have to have like understand gambling and DFS and statistics and stuff like that too. So it's a good spot for me to build a few things. And I don't think they're that good right now, but I'm hoping this latest one I finish this week might be an improvement on the industry standard.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, because this week in particular, one of the big talking points was how far off NFL main slate ownership projections were. I could list off like 10 examples of when I was looking at them versus how it closed. And it seemed like it was across the board. As I understand it, the initial batch of most ownership projections are entirely algo-driven, looking at optimals. What are the players that come up the most frequent? And then some sites apply more of a massage and a finesse, maybe based on industry sentiment, steam, blah, blah, blah. And that's the, you know, more of an art than a science part of it. Like, if you're trying to be industry standard, what are the special sausages that you're doing beyond just looking at, you know, what appears the most in 10,000 optimals or whatever?
I only have like one special sauce right now, and I'm not going to say it because I think it's smart and people copy it. So, and I think I told you offline, so don't tell anybody. We'll see if it is predictive. Maybe we could talk about it. I just want, you know, maybe we'll last a season or two if it's more, a little more accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, of course, was the way off on the projections, but like my model that week was actually better. It was lower than the industry standard on Thomas. I think they're still up on my site, but my new model, backtesting would have had Thomas even higher, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't get it. Why it was so far off. I mean, the guy had, you know, what ahead if he, I think he had like 99 rushing yards. So he just missed the, I had a ton of them. So it seemed like obviously it was a good play. People just didn't, it was strange.
Well, where do you fall on that? Cause like, and I know Blender falls in this camp. I think I do it to an extent. And one thing that's been very valuable to me and the people who are the YouTube members that watch my cram, you know, I do informal polls in there. And I'm like, which quarterback is your guys' favorite quarterback today? Which tight end is your favorite play? And that has been far more directionally accurate than any ownership projection, specifically with quarterbacks. It's really helped me dial in on guys, you know, Josh Allen's going to be 20% and Hurts is going to be much lower, like big kind of shifts like that. And so that kind of my special sauce is like talking to a bunch of people who are playing. Like, you don't strike me as someone that's going to like consume a ton of content and be like, I sure hear this guy being mentioned a lot. Let me go tweak my number. So that I am kind of curious how you're approaching the like soft science part of it.
Well, so I will give away the secret sauce. It scrapes the Posit Kingdom chat and all Blender's podcasts and ship there chasing and then spits out a number.
Okay. There you go. There you have
I like that strategy. I've talked to Blender about it, and I mean, I just think you need to track it somehow because you're also often wrong.
For sure.
So like, yeah, you know, we always recognize the hits and forget about the misses, right? Is human behavioralism. So like, yeah, when you go, oh, I knew it. JTT was only gonna be 19%. I knew it. But that is kind of what I'm trying to do a little more scientific way is where are they wrong? And you know, how big are those changes going to be? So I'm not doing a full bottom up approach.
Yeah.
I think that's a waste of time. I think they do it pretty well.
Is my characterization about how initial batch of ownership projections are done, is that correct? It's just done by like running thousands and thousands of optimals and seeing which players are showing up the most.
I think they all have their own little idiosyncratic like differences, but like that's how the way I used to do it before the industry was doing it and before it got super popular was just a huge database of actual ownership with like variables I thought mattered, and then you could kind of manipulate those variables too to kind of give you a better projection, and then and then I would take like a Fantasy Cruncher 1,000 lineup run really quick, and then take that whatever that did on, you know, like a two unique. I'm just making shit up here. I can't remember what I was doing. You know, 30% randomness, two uniques, and then you add that, and then how much does that weigh into it too? You have to figure out how much or something like that goes. And I didn't then do any manual shifts very often.
Yeah,
but if you have a team like ETR or Stochastic or whatever, like, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't use them and talk about it and then make changes as you go through the week too. So yeah, I think your description is probably exactly what happens. And I think Adam said that on his podcast.
Yeah,
like exactly the way you described it.
How much of you going down this rabbit hole is just like you're intellectually curious versus like, I do think there's a huge, huge edge if you could dial in ownership projections more. And I want to be on the cutting edge of that.
I don't have a huge, huge edge, but it's not just ownership projections too, because it's because ChatGPT exists now and it didn't before. And Sims exists and they didn't before. And I think Sims make it much harder to win, and they're going to just get harder and harder. And so you have to do something. And I think the only thing you can really do is, well, A, build a better sim, and you could do that too. Is when ChatGPT, you know, 8.0 or something might be able to just do something for you in a day. You know, that's better. But like leaving that aside, that's a lot of work. And I have my own ones too, but like they're very similar to the industry, maybe with a few things that I think are a little bit better, depending on the sport. And it depends on the sport too. Like NBA, I use SaberSim for NBA because I didn't want to update my own. And
yeah,
because like the NBA is so fast, like you don't want to break, you don't want it breaking. The late swap is really hard to do. So like, there's reasons to not do that. But anyways, I think long story short, projections and ownership right now is pretty much the only thing you got to tighten up that you can get an edge. And projections is and honestly, Pete, doing the shows with all the best DFS players week in and week out, like they say the same shit, you know, they weren't doing what I was doing. So like, that's a piece I probably needed to do more of. And I did a lot better back in the day, probably because the competition was worse, but also I was making my own projections originally, make my own everything.
Wait, what are you saying that our guests and they're talking to the top DFS players, what are they doing?
They're basically, they're brain players. They're making their own projections.
Yeah.
You know, gotcha. One way or another, whether they're going input boosts, whether they're actually making projections, You know, like Yuta was on our show. How many times do we have him? Just once.
Like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
But then I talked to him on Discord a decent amount, and you know, people were like, he's not. And when he did Levitan's show, people were like, he's not giving away the goods. He's not saying anything like what he's really doing. And after talking to him for quite a bit, no, that's really what he's doing. He's just like going in and making adjustments where he thinks, you know, he knows better, and bullying the optimizer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just better at it than everyone else.
Yeah.
So like all those things combined, I'm like, well, why not spend a couple hours a day? But ChatGPT sucks so bad. Honestly, it still sucks.
Yeah.
That sometimes takes me 4 or 5 hours just to get one piece done.
Yeah.
You know, because it just breaks all the time. It forgets the code and what you were even talking about.
So let me ask you, what if I got to tell you like an hour before lock on Sunday, I'm like, Brian, these ownership projections are way off. Here's what Stephon Diggs is going to be. Here's what Jonathan Taylor is going to be. Here's what Derrick Henry would be. Would you just go adjust those ownership projections in your stuff and then rerun the sim? Or would you manually be like, hey, I want way more JT because he's actually coming in much lighter now? Or like, how would you actually use that information?
That's a good question, because that's never happened to me. Where someone,
I know, but someone what if gives I just me came the, in there, yeah,
gives me the goods. Yeah, I would. It depends on what time. If it was,
I'm giving you an hour and a half.
I'd redo it.
Just
all.
Came out.
I'd redo it.
Rerun it. Yeah,
15 minutes. I'd probably be like, let's just adjust a few of these lineups. Like that first week with Kyren.
Yeah,
did I say his name right this time?
You got it. Yeah, yeah.
I just take a bunch of line. I should have just taken a bunch of lineups from you know, the pool of ranked.
Yeah.
Lineups and popped them in there. I didn't.
Have you had a moment this year where you did any kind of like IKB finesse? Like say you saw a tweet from the Coach Speak Index where he's looking at Sean McVay's track record and you're like, you know what? They are going to saddle up Kyren Williams. Or you read a tweet where you're like, Debo is so much better versus zone. Have you had a moment at all like that where you've kind of manually finessed things because you're like, that's actually pretty compelling?
So it has to be from somebody else, or I can't just do it myself?
No, no, it could be yourself. I'm just saying where you intervened over just what the machines are doing.
Yes, yes, yeah. I do that. I do that quite a bit in NBA. But in NFL, I did last week, I dropped McBride from the flex. I was getting a ton of them. And I don't know. I just don't think it was counting how many tight ends there was going to be in flex that last week. Plus I'm just sick of fucking McBride, you know. I'm sick of having 40% of McBride, so I dropped him a bunch. But yeah, I do that stuff a lot more this year. NBA, I think it's totally valuable to do, even though it's like the most predictive sport.
Yeah.
To X out like bottom guys, like guys who are only right in your lineup a couple. I do that all the time. I don't know if anyone else does that, but I think that's totally valuable. If you look at these like pre-contest sims, now we're starting to talk about sims again, but post-lock contest sims where it analyzes how you did, you know, like this is what your ROI would have been if you played 1,000 times, that type of stuff. It's interesting to see, what your average, your median return is as opposed to your ROI, because I don't think a lot of people who don't play that much would understand your median return is negative. So like if your ROI is like, and this can vary obviously, but if your ROI is 25% in NBA, not even NFL, in NBA, which is pretty, a lot more stable, like you're going to, and you play the $15 full, you're probably expected to lose about $1,000, $1,100 on average every night. At 25% ROI. I'm sorry, in the median. So, I don't know. I find that, I don't know, reassuring and scary at the same time. It's like, so like, you could easily lose 30 grand, you know, in 20 days or something. And
what,
and it's like, this is totally normal with a 25% ROI.
I think the tight end thing is actually a good thing to talk about, because one, just the dynamics and the pricing of these slates lately, people have been getting lots of tight ends in the flex, both if you're running an optimizer, even when I've been messing around with the solver sims the previous week, just getting so many of the top graded lineups are double tight end. And the optimizers even come with settings that say, don't allow a tight end in the flex. Like, it's so ingrained in us. But if the sim is telling us that, because I would say in my head, I would be like, well, yeah, the tight end, the median projection is going to be higher than the players priced around it, but do they actually have the ceiling of some of those other wide receivers? You have who have a higher A dot and maybe a better chance for a bigger game. But isn't the sim factoring those dynamics in? Like, should we just be trusting that and being like, you know what? The numbers are the numbers. It's fucking okay to play two tight ends.
Yeah, I think you're right. But again, like, I think we're in the chat GPT stage of Sims too, where they're not like dead on accurate, because the field's not dead on accurate. And so I would say that tight end one is a good one to know better than, because they have to get those combinations in the tight end flex, like, dead on accurate to know, like, oh no, even though it's really popular, it's still really a really good play. Mm-hmm. But if they are right, Pete, yeah, you should just let the Sims do it and just say it knows better than I do. But like, I think spots like that or something similar are perfectly valid to go, like, because you're still using the Sims, right? You're just going to drop down some lineups and replace it with other lineups the Sim thinks is good, but just not as good. And if you look at however you're ranking them, let's just say ROI, like, it's like, you know, whatever, 101.3 to 101.2 in that lineup didn't make it in, like, but it's still very close to the top 150. So I don't think it kills you either way.
Yeah. I think I've actually seen this question twice, Consigliere. I don't know if it was you in the Discord who asked this one too, but is there a way to simulate on standard deviation rather than median projection?
I mean, I don't know why you would even attempt that. Like, there'll be a standard deviation in your Sims output somewhere. Well, I'm just talking about, like, if you're using R or whatever, but there might be in some of these sites too. And then you could, I'm pretty sure that's what Saber Sims does. Like, they have like a risk adjusted ROI, which counts like how much standard deviation per lineup or something like that it uses. Yeah. So yeah, there will be a standard deviation output in your sim, and then you can adjust. Like, you could say, like, no more standard deviation than X, or maybe you want to land a standard deviation. You know, I don't know what he's trying to achieve, but you could easily and then adjust that, because like it's just, you just want a bunch of lineups and then sorting them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's like the output is just a bunch of lineups in any sim. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of names. So you could sort it however you want. ROI, non-ROI, standard deviation, you know, whatever.
Yeah. How I've been using it, both when I use, like, run the Sims for showdown slates and when I use the solver for main slates, and, you know, running a bunch, looking at how they grade out. And then what I'm doing is, instead of like almost trying to like bully it, I'm then using the filter to find, like, okay, I want some Derrick Henry lineups or whatever, using that filter. What are the best lineups that include Derrick Henry? And then finding a lineup that the sim already likes that I'm not necessarily booting, but it's like, I kind of want this player. I like this guy. I want to root for him or whatever in my lineup. And then picking out the best ones. And that's been, you know, kind of working out for me, as opposed to being like, I tried it a few times where it's like, I'm going to lock button these four players I like and then see the best lineups around it. I've had far less success going that route.
I think that's a totally valid. I think that's way better than, you know, on the shitter making a lineup.
Yeah.
Like, you want like, you know, you want Henry and Travis Kelce because Taylor's going to the game. So you go that, what's the top Taylor Henry in this highly ranked lineup from the sim product that or I'm using or making myself.
Right. Although I think Stomped here is right. So much run around with sims and optimizers. I think it boils down to just playing the most lineups you can and not being an idiot. We've come full circle. I don't even think this comment is said in jest. I think we just got hit with, if I had 150 lineups and played the best plays, I would win too. I think we just came back to that.
I think that meta has honestly run its course. Like, I don't see it ever anymore. I think it's because the games are so fucking hard that so many people who thought they could just enter 150 just lost their ass. They're like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done that. And it's just like, no one even thinks it anymore. Like maybe you get more dummies in your mentions than me, but I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah. I feel like I have it. I mean, we were talking about it on the Swolecast yesterday, and there's like the middle IQ stuff and the left of IQ in it, where it's like, it does feel like we are in that scenario with a lot of things too, where it is like the middle IQ, just like overthinking things in the wrong way. And that we're like the brain, big brain players and the idiots kind of arrive on the same conclusion that like, just play the best guys, you know, they score the most points.
What has been your, like the consensus amongst the guys, Swolecast, Chip Chasing, whatever, and this year's kind of chalk going off, and like last week with Henry being coming in at almost 30% owned and stuff like that.
So you know what is funny about that? Because I guess I've thought about it a little bit, and I remember because last year we had a crazy chalk year too, right? Where the chalk was just hitting at a pretty high rate, and I think at least just from my perspective, I was fighting against it so much. I wasn't using sims to make better lineups. And, you know, I was probably over leveraged in general. I was doing too galaxy brain. I was going too far off the board to be a GPP bro. And so the chalk hitting was just massively tilting. This year, I think I'm playing better. I'm playing more chalk. I'm playing better projected lineups. And some of that chalk hitting isn't as tilting to me because it's in my fucking lineup. So that's kind of my consensus. Like even, you know, Davis is using the sims. Everyone's like making better lineups. And so when the chalk hits, it's like, yeah, no, I had some of that. So I mean, that's my only read on it, is that like the sims have collectively helped people make less, you know, poor lineups on the whole.
Yeah. I'm thinking variance still, like more than the sims. But man, if you go into the DK app and then go to players and sort by points, they're almost all the high owned guys. Like every fucking week, there'll be like one guy at 1% or something. But like, it's just like at week in, week out, you just could sort by points and ownership, and pretty amazing.
Well, I'll give you a good example though. This week, and again, we were talking about this on the Swolecast. I also recommend, if for some reason you don't normally watch the Swolecast, we had Ricky D on yesterday, so that was really fun to have him on. He even ran his sims before we did the show, so got some actual good information in there. And now I'm forgetting what I was going to say. Oh yeah. No. So this week on that example, I was like, Kyren Williams is going to be super popular, right? Comes back, drops 40 points, basically getting a workload like CMC. What's not to like? And we were talking about, and they were like, oh no, he's going to be mega owned. I see ETR's projections come out and I see their ownership projection, and they have him buried. Like, they don't have a good projection on him. They have his ownership. It came in at like 3% in small field. And to me, that is still one of those classic examples of like old school DFS, right? You just jam the guy who just crushed. Just keep playing him. And these days, and now everyone's like, well, no, now he's in a tough matchup. Now there's other plays around him that are probably better from a game theory perspective. And now I'm looking at Kyren, and it's like, he might come off a 40 ball and be 5% if ETR drives the market as their projections indicate.
I mean, what did they have him that low?
Yeah. It's very low. Because I was shocked when I
he came in at like 18, I think, right?
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about for projected for this week.
Oh, for this week.
I'm saying that I assumed he was going to be projecting for much higher, and they have him at like 5% over ownership coming off of a 40 burger.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about last week. Okay.
No. I think
I would expect him to be much. What's his salary at though this year, this week?
Yeah, it's up, but not in like a crazy way. But then this goes back to like how the ownership projections initially get made, right? Because I think what you have happening is they have a lower projection than maybe I would have assumed, And then when they're spitting all those out, it's like, well, Kyren isn't actually popping, because this is actually a loaded running back slate. There's a ton of good plays. Obviously, Zach Moss is going to chew up a shit ton of ownership. So I think their ownership is tailing off of that. But then I'm still like, are people not going to want to play the guy that just scored 40 points?
That's interesting. Yeah. He'll be higher than that.
They have Kyren right now projected for 15.9 DraftKings points, a $7,200 salary, 2.9% small field ownership.
I mean, it is the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, they've been playing like shit, but Stafford's still back, right? Like, he'll play this week.
Yeah, he's good. Everybody's good.
Yeah, he'll probably be higher than that. I didn't do mine. I wonder what I'm going to get. When I figure it out, I'll tell you, but
yeah.
Yeah, that you actually made me think of a couple things I want to add now.
To the
positional chain. Like, how much is there positionally?
Yeah.
That week definitely matters. I don't think I have that in there.
Because I did start thinking about that this week with the Zach Moss stuff, because I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've had like the free square week yet this year, where there's that like backup running back or a guy who's egregiously mispriced that it's like he shows up in 100% of everything. Like, and that's what we're headed to here with Zach Moss.
We had those Deontay Foreman weeks, but like no one knew who was going to play really.
Yeah.
He didn't go. He did pretty well actually, but no one even played him. Who else was there? There was no others, huh?
Because we've had some like Zach popular, Moss? There was the Raheem Mostert week when like HN was out, but he was still priced up. Like he was still like a 62 or 6,300, like Zach Moss, a bell cow level workload at 4,600. The true everyone says free square. I don't think we've had that yet this year.
Well, I mean, we had Zach Moss, didn't we?
But not at that price.
Okay.
Because he was at that when JT was out. And so okay. The prices came out assuming JT was good. Then the thumb injury, because if his price would have been like 6,800 if they would have known Jonathan Taylor would have been out. So he's mispriced by over $2,000.
And those first week with Zach Moss too, I always thought like whenever I see Zach Moss, I'm like, there's a chance this guy might not play. Always still thinking about the Bills, Zach Moss. And then if you look at like Singletary the last few weeks, speaking of running backs.
Yeah.
And he came in way over.
Did he?
Yeah, he was. I think ETR had him at like 20% and 30%. And he came in at like 40 both times or something like that. There was a lot of high running backs this year. So like that Mozart one week came in at like 45 or 50 almost. Well higher than his projections. Montgomery came in over 41, well higher than his projected ownership.
Yeah.
And then Henry this week, but then JT goes almost like half of what he was projected. So strange.
Yeah, I can't. The other ones I was just going to try to make sense of, like back to the sim thing. Do you think because people are using the guardrails of the sims at a higher clip that they're not galaxy branding themselves off of these really good chalk plays quite as much? And now they're coming in actually higher than they initially were.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, 2017 to 2021 or two, everyone's using an optimizer and they know they have to bully it. Like, it's not going to give you good lineups unless you do something. Like pretty much every mediocre or better player knows that. So like, that's the meta. So like, what do? You just like go to ownership, you chop it off. I don't want any more of this ownership. This guy's high, so I won't use him. Right. Like that's how everyone played. And then now you think the Sims are the shit. And so you just listen to them.
Right. I think psychologically for me, right, where it's like it was so easy for a GPP bro Pete to be like, 90% Zach Moss, I'll fade it, dude. And if he gets injured, I'll be, you know, sprinting to the podium with all my money. And now you run the Sims. And you're like, holy shit, no matter what way I slice this, Zach Moss is in every single goddamn lineup. I just docked his projection by 6 points and he's still showing up in every single thing. And then you're like, okay, I'm just going to play Zach Moss and I'll get unique elsewhere. Like, yeah. I didn't have that guardrail before.
Yep. Yeah. You'd have to like remove him from the pool or something. Right. Otherwise, the Sims are like, no, this is the guy. Because the Sims are way chalkier than people played, generally speaking. Yes. Right now, in this iteration of publicly available Sims, we'll see what it looks like later. I think that is a good call. I think I started this by saying this part of the discussion that I don't think the Sims, I think it's just very instant. But I think you're convincing me that maybe some of the ownership is directly affected by the Sims, but more specifically, people trusting the Sims probably too much.
Right. Yeah, because there is that whole thing, right, where people now read it because it is new, right? Probably in the same way when optimizers first came out, right? It's just like you spit out 150 and you make money. That people now think the Sims are the skeleton key. It tells me I have a projected 130% ROI on this lineup. I can't lose, you know, still not understanding exactly that it's only as good as the input. It's only as good as the field that's being projected, all of that stuff in that hypothetical set. Yeah, it's a great lineup, but that's not exactly how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. And it depends on like the sim you're using and how you're doing it too. Like, what is it comparing? Because like if you give it shitty lineups to compare to a field, even if that field's good, like your lineups are still going to suck. So like there's a lot more like what is the word like handholding or, you know, bullying the sim that you probably should do, especially with these public ones. They expect you to. I talked to Matt, you know, we had him on the show, Saber Sims guy, and I've DM'd him a bunch of times since then, and they expect you to mess with the settings. Like that's your part of the deal is the mess with the settings. And I would say you definitely should. I think actually everyone should just not do Sims.
We're back to that. No, it is true, because I'll get comments in the Discord too of like, someone showed a lineup that it was a really good lineup, made money. And he was like, the Sims hated this lineup, you know, and, or whatever. And it's like, well, yeah, you were probably higher on the, I was like, basically what I was saying is if you want the Sims to like your lineup, you need to go in and boost the projection for the player. Cause then the Sim will like it. It'll say, oh, it's actually projected for more points. It's like, you can make the Sims give your lineups and your plays a better score if you go manually adjust the projection. If you want to trust your projections, then you also have to be able to deal with what the Sim is saying it likes.
It's true. Yeah. If it can think your lineup's good if you just tell it, no, this is really good play. And you might have to do that too at some point. Like, like a late injury news or something, you're like, okay, I just got to get this guy in as many lineups as I want and just jack it up so there's something to at least sort by. Like Jokic last night in NBA, he was getting like no ownership because he's so expensive, and he ended up scoring like 800 points. But like, there's no way you would get him in your sim, like, because he just there's like nothing you could do unless you like physically boost them up to like an 80, 90 point projection.
It's funny you say that, because I've been thinking about that with Showdown NFL specifically, how, you know, you can run these sims and like some of the guys that are just, you know, that dynamic happens all the time, right? Like someone's too expensive for like what their role is, or another guy's now back in the lineup and he's in like that dead zone of like a $7,500 price tag, and like he's just not going to show up. The math is saying we can't get this guy in and stuff in as many projected points as we like, and yet using these sims, and I do this now on Run the Sims, where I'll be like, no, include this guy in the flex and then give me the best lineups around it, and they're not going to grade out with as good of a ROI as the rest of the set, because this guy is a bad play. But then thinking like, if so many people are using these tools, using these projections, it's like lock buttoning the guy that doesn't show up in like hundreds of sims is actually like probably a really good strategy on the, you know, the small, you know, Showdown type slates where you only have six players in your lineup.
Yeah. If you were a brain player before, I don't know why you wouldn't continue to be, even like just use the sim to leverage your skill.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think you should continue to do. It would just give you more like data on those lineups and the lineups that you like, and maybe give you some other iterations of that lineup that might actually be better than what you could have built by hand or with an optimizer.
I mean, that I had my best showdown slate of the year on, was it Monday, whatever that Bears Vikings game was. I was tied for first in the huge play action until the final Cairo Santos click and it kick, and it dropped me down a little bit. But that was one too where I was looking at the Sims and like the owner, and everything was like jamming Dobbs and Fields, and I really loved the spot for Jordan Addison and DJ Moore. And so I literally just ran only lineups that had DJ Moore and Jordan Addison, and then used the Sim to tell me what are the best, you know, lineups around that. I wasn't like IKBing. I was just like, I'm locking these captains, and it lined up well in that I thought those were the best and the field wasn't going to go there. Sometimes it doesn't line up like that. It's like what the field's doing. I'm like, yeah, that seems like the best. But using that of just being like, I don't think this is a bad pivot, and I'm going to make this my stand on this slate, ended up giving me like a pretty unique lineup set, I think.
I made an I know better play on that slate too.
Did you?
I had it gave me 28% of Velus Jones Jr.
That you got an IKV over that.
And although I think he's hilarious, the name's hilarious, and I think he's got like a 50% fumble rate, you know, like the guy, every time the guy touches it.
Well, he had that play earlier this year, right? Wasn't he like sitting down in the end zone and the ball like came right into him, right, and it just like rolls off of him?
That wasn't his first one either. I think he's had a bunch. Yeah. That Bears front office has got to be the worst in the league, or one of them. And so I dropped him down to like a gentleman's like 9%. Because he still was like projected like one or something.
Yeah.
And when you're playing 150 and trying not to dupe, like you're going to have to play some Velus Jones Jr. guys occasionally in your 150 set, even though it's gross and you hate it. But like if he kick returns one, he doesn't fumble and kick returns, that's, you know, a $200 guy who's got like 8 points right there, you know, or six for a kick return. But you know what I mean? Hopefully he catches a ball.
Yeah. One thing that's like really now is I think through more of that Monday showdown slate being really interesting. You know, if you just ran optimals and you weren't using a sim and you were just using projections, you were going to get a ton of like 5-1 and 4-2 Vikings because they were the favorite. That team total flowed into their projections. You were going to get more Vikings, but then you would run the Sims. Like I ran it on Run the Sims and I was getting a ton of highly graded out ROI on Chicago Bears onslaughts, 5-1, 4-2, where you essentially flip it and you're saying, what if I onslaught the slight underdog there? So that's like the evolution of like the projections get you this, then the Sims get you on constructions with a higher ROI when it does hit, and then the final level is what you were talking about, then the brain play. What are your takes? What can differentiate you from that subset that the Sim users are just blindly following?
Sure. I mean, I would say on showdown, I don't know how much brain playing you should be doing, honestly. Like,
just let me cook, Brian. Let me.
I mean, bad boy. You still. I mean, I guess you still should. Like, it's just like because you just want like you want good lineups that aren't going to be duped as often as they should. That's what showdown's all about, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not the best showdown player in the world, but I think if you could sum up how to play DFS showdown, that's it. Just you want good lineups that are not duped as much as they should. By a lot. Like if you can get a lineup that should be duped 20 times, 3 times, like you're doing good. Like, but it's showdown and you're only going to win once every 2 years, you know, or so. I mean, those type of lineups anyways. So like you still want to do that. You still want to have that in your showdown more so where you could, I know better in classic, you know, a million different ways, I would say.
True.
But like in showdown, like you start, I think start with that. And then after that, then if you want the Sims telling you Bears onslaughts are better, and then you want to do your brain plays on top of that, have at it. But you don't want to just make dog shit lineups because they're not going to be duped. And you don't want to just make chalk lineups that turn out to get duped 100 times because you're dead either way those ways, right? So like you still have to be in that middle ground for showdown.
Yeah. All right. Couple questions in the chat here. Scorpion, what is a bad amount of dupes on a showdown? Brian, do you have any general rule of thumb you like?
I mean, anything under 5, you're probably good. It's tough to say, like, if you could, you just want a lineup that's not duped as much as it should be. So that could be 20.
It's all relative to how good the lineup is.
Yeah, it's all relative how much often that lineup would win. So like, I wouldn't even, you know what I like to look at is like the top, the top edge is like, am I not getting those, you know, 150, 300, 500 dupe ones? For sure, you don't want those, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I guess there's spots where they could be. It just so like so obvious, you know, 220 time dupe lineup is just so good on that slate. And maybe this new meta of people all knowing this now, they didn't know it when this show started, you know, 3 years ago. And so like maybe that meta is actually forcing people to go down and play worse lineups. And now some of those chalk lineups are a little bit better. So that could be happening too. But yeah, I would say under five would be like something to shoot for. And like, you know, if you get 10, you get 20, it's not the end of the world. And it depends on how many lineups you're playing. Like, you know, when you play 150 lineups, you got more shots to make a mistake and your lineup's going to get duped. But like, I think there's good players who play under three, like Osmo, and a lot of good players who play like they average around like eight dupes or 10 dupes even, you know, or maybe even more, and their ROIs are still there.
And wouldn't you say, isn't that almost like a risk tolerance thing where like Osmo's chart is going to look more like dot, 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 boom. And then if you're eating 8 to 10 dupes, you're going to not, your swings aren't going to be as big.
Yeah. Assuming the same ROI, that's exactly what theoretically should happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was in first, last one or one of them. When I went to look at my lineups. So he was soloing for 500,000. And didn't end up that way. I think it was the Bears game.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the real question everyone wants to know. What is Brick's highest scoring best ball lineup? You could actually pull this up and don't even.
I'm going to look now, but I didn't get 150 in on Underdog. I only got 150 in on DraftKings, but let's see. I did 20.
I can just pull up my buddy Patrick's site here. I don't trust Brian. I verify on the blockchain here.
You don't even trust but verify. You don't trust.
I don't trust you. Yeah, I knew you were going to lie. You're going to say, you know, 17,000 points. Here's your best team, Brian.
Okay.
The CJ Stroud slappy strikes again, but no Tank Dell. You don't have this guy stacked up. This is the robot drafted this one.
What a player. See, I knew it would just outscore, not stacking him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you got to imagine some of these drafts too were in the beta stages of test just to see if the the app would work, and it wouldn't a lot of the time. So like the lines were just garbage.
Yeah. Hey, this is a good advance rate, Brian. 27%. I'd kill for a 27% advance rate.
Yes, that's right. It's 6 out of 12. That's what, according to my data, that's also what that says. Yeah.
Do you know what I want for brick75.com and the draft caddy? I want something like this, but for weekly battle royales where you can upload your CSV like of your teams. And I know there's some like blunt tools that kind of do this with Excel stuff, but where you could like search for various combinations. You could like quickly see what are all my CJ Stroud teams for this week, like a screener for your portfolio. Cause a lot of the times, right, it's kind of like you're drafting, forget which combos do I have. I want to actually now mix and match CJ Stroud with this tight end, et cetera, to have like a really easy way to screen through that.
We could probably pull the problem. The last thing we looked at, and I'm trying not to do any upgrades because we don't have many subs during the season, like we do in the off season, even though it's really cool for Battle Royale.
It is.
If it doesn't fill, I'm going to max it each week on Sunday, but it's been filling so fast. So hopefully this week I can max it again. We were going to add just like your ROI, like a real cheap roto tracker for it. But yes. Like the data that they provide on that page is like, it's not, it doesn't have enough info on it to like make any ROI calculations and stuff.
Yeah, I need to talk with Underdog, and like there needs to be a better like CSV export for your contests and stuff, so you could have a better idea of like, yeah.
That would be perfect. And then the other thing I wanted to do was add like the track of like the draft percentage of like who's drafted that week. And so like if you're on our app, you could just click I agree. And then then we would scrape your data and our data and everyone's data who agrees.
An opt-in.
And an opt-in. And then we know, like, you know, DK Metcalf's drafted in 77% of lineups so far this week. But again, when we looked at that, there's not enough info on the pages, like the post-draft page, to like discern enough information.
Yeah, it's basically like a more systemized version of what some of the guys in the Badge Bros, Chad Mashke's been doing, where people post their draft boards and then they input it. It would just make it a lot easier if you could scrape it.
Right, like you'd have to go into the draft board somehow and there's just not enough to scrape. But that would be cool and like crowdsource it. And then I was thinking there'd be more, like then you could crowdsource more stuff too, like what opponents like behaviors, like Poker Tracker. This guy drafts this style or this play or something, you know, whatever. Who knows what you'd want to populate? But once you store that data, you have a lot of cool stuff you could do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff and tons of fun contests up in the lobby this week, too. Obviously, the Battle Royale, we're up to, we got that $30,000 top prize. I put this on Twitter just because I know sometimes we always complain, like, collectively as fantasy DFS players about not having flat payout structures. This is about one of the smoothest payout structures you can get for a tournament of this size, $30,000, $20,000, $15,000, $10,000, $8,000, $7,000. So, you know, 10th place exactly 10% of first, just a really nice structure if you're getting volume in here.
How did they pull this off? Did they raise the amount of entrants or did they raise the cash level?
That's a good question. I should actually ask.
What was the cash level last week? Does anyone know?
I'm not sure yet. 11,000. So it's
out of
like
67.
What?
That's pretty low, right? Like,
yeah, it's a little over. Yeah. The min cash line's pretty low.
Yeah. 11,000 divided by 67, five. Yeah.
What is that? Like 12 or 13?
That is 16%.
16%.
So it's normally 20, right? Or 25.
Yeah.
But I think I would prefer that.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
And to me, again, my whole thing, like if you're playing the Battle Royale with 67,500 entrants, you're trying to finish top 10, that's what you're trying to do. If you are wanting the smaller ones, the one I've been getting some entries into right now, like you have the hurry up here. This is a 20 entry max, $3, 20 max, 1K to first. And what's a 750 divided by 3,500? This is, you know, over 21% min cash, you know? So like, if you want to play the smaller stakes for the min cash, like these 20 maxes and smaller tournaments are where you go play.
So in NBA DK this week, yesterday, last 2 days, I took 11th both times, right? Which is basically a kick in the fucking nuts. So 11th, first place is 100K. What did I get for 11th yesterday? Take a guess. No.
5K?
$700.
Oh, what? 700 for 11th? Holy shit.
So
that's a kick in the dick.
Right, just to show you the differences there. And then the night before, the morning of, I wake up, Greg Ehrenberg DM me last night, but I fell asleep already. All right. I'm an old man. Greg's probably stays up till, wee hours in the morning. And so I'm like, what happened? And he goes, oh, there was a stat change. Because I guess me and him were tied for third or something like that. Stat change dropped me from third to 11th. So third was like 20 grand. 11th, $700 again.
But you were sleeping while that all transpired?
So it didn't hurt that bad.
That psychologically, that's how you want it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's still just like, you gotta be fucking kidding. Like you gotta take first. And so with this payout structure, what would I have gotten for seventh in this 30K to first, not even $5 entry, not 15 or 20 or whatever.
For seventh, you would have gotten $6,000.
There you go. Yeah. So would I rather have 16% cash rate or 25% cash rate?
Yeah.
DraftKings is set up for like the lowest common denominator, right? The dummies of the dummies. Like, you know, like they want them to feel better about min cashing, you know, and having like a chance to do it again tomorrow, right, and also win the 100K, you know, like I see 100K, so I enter type of people, not thinking about payout structure, anything like that. Late swap, same thing. They should get rid of it because it helps these dummies, but the dummies will complain too much, so they keep it. Yeah.
Dude, the stat correction thing made me think again on Monday night. I think it was because of that lateral at the end of the game. DraftKings, you know, they normally pay out what, like an hour, hour and a half after. They didn't pay out until the morning. I think it was like 9 a.m. because I think they were waiting on that stat correction to see if something counted as a fumble or whatever. A guy heard Nation in my Discord who got first in the big $1, you know, really nice score. He had like, I think like $30 in play or a little more than that, and won $4,000 on that slate. And I was like, I was praying for him because I'm like, that's such a brutal sweat. They have not paid out. And you know, one fumble, one defensive point, like you're toast. You're just absolutely toast. It would have been agonizing.
Yeah, but he got it, I think, right? I don't think he did.
They didn't change anything. Yeah. But I'm like, to wake up and still have not received the money in your account, it's like, come on.
So that the 2 days ago where I went from third to 11th, second place in my spot, I think the difference was like 3 points, like 3.25.
Okay.
So it's like, there's just so much variance. It's insane. So I applaud it. I like it. I don't know how everyone else feels, but as long as they got games going on, maybe I'll even try a Saturday underdog. I guess you got it. I mean, the big thing I've noticed on that Battle Royale is the questionable guys.
Yep.
But like, it feels like such an advantage to me to just wait until Sunday, know they're going to play or get like some more certain news. And now you got a guy who's gone 5% drafted, who's now should have been 95% drafted, and you 150th on Sunday. It feels just like too big of an advantage to draft earlier in the week to me.
I agree with you. The counter people will say is like the combos you can get really early in the week. The point I really strongly agree with you on is because a lot of people like using the Q tag for like the free swap. So the example is Jonathan Taylor this week, before he was officially ruled out with the thumb surgery or whatever, you could just take him in the last round. And then if he's ruled out, you just set up your ranks to where Zach Moss auto swaps into him. And this would have to assume that Zach Moss wasn't selected in that draft. The problem, as you're describing, is Zach Moss is going to be 100% rostered or close to in the contest. So like that swap, even though you're not like sacrificing a ton of projected points, like you're not getting like a super unique piece. And often the piece you're swapping into is just a chalk piece that's taken in a large chunk of the contest. So it's not as big of an advantage as I think sometimes people think.
So I think this is how ignorant I am. I didn't even know you're talking about underdog, right?
Yes.
So if your guy gets ruled out, you get a swap?
If he has a Q tag. So like right
when
now,
you drafted him.
Yeah. Like, so as an example, right now, Dallas Goedert has a doubtful tag. If you draft him, you're not going to get the swap. But early in the week, JT, before he was ruled out, had a Q tag. And so if you draft a guy that has the Q tag at the time and they're later ruled out. So like example on the Thanksgiving slate, I drafted a ton of Luke Musgrave and then he got scratched. I just put Tucker Kraft, their backup Packers, at the top. And so all those teams automatically swapped to Tucker Kraft.
Okay. I did not know that. That's interesting. Okay. So you could still draft. You could still draft two guys. It's not the end of the world. Doubtful
guys.
It's
not the end of the world.
No one's drafting them.
I do think that you do then have to be intentional about the swap because, Brian, all of a sudden, like, say in a situation like that, especially at a thinner position like tight end or quarterback, where like the next man up that everyone's swapping to is going to be the same, like that first swap candidate is probably becomes an awful selection because the field is auto swapping to it. If you didn't manually reset your swap ranks. So like you need to intentionally be like, I don't want the next man up in ADP. Maybe I go two down because that guy's not going to be auto swapped by the field.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even know it existed. So
there you go, Brian. Yeah.
That's cool. And I'm assuming that does not happen in season long, right?
No. Because they don't. I don't even think like in the season long drafts, they'll have like, they'll put like the red injured
thing.
There's
Q tags, I think.
Not for like when you're drafting a team in like the summer, like no one has, cause like the Q tag is from the official like NFL reporting from like practice.
I might be thinking of DraftKings.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing Q tags.
Yeah.
And Drafters too, I think, has Q tags.
Okay.
But maybe I'm wrong. I think that would be kind of cool to add a Q tag. Like if you take, they just put a Q tag on, I don't know, or somebody who's like, maybe that wouldn't be useful. But I'm thinking like somebody gets hurt in a preseason game or something, or in mini camp, but they're probably going to play, but you're not sure. Like, well, that whole week's kind of weird now that people are drafting, waiting for a week or two to find out.
Yeah. Well, it's the same dynamic as the battle royales, except instead of being condensed into 1 week of that playing out, it's playing out over 4 months.
Right. Yeah. But also like the game of, well, I'm going to take a risk and no one's going to have them.
Yeah.
You know, can happen sometimes too.
I definitely have got, like, I'm now thinking about like season long best ball contests, like much differently from having now played a ton more battle royale and realizing how lazy I was getting at the end of my drafts in season long compared to how I'm so vigilant when I draft my battle royales. And I'm like, God, I'm going to see the board in completely differently next year, which is dumb because I should have always been seeing it like that.
Right.
But it took getting so into the weeds on this to realize how much I need to alter my end of draft strategy.
Hell yeah. Like rounds like 15 on, even like maybe even earlier. Like if you're sitting there taking, it's been so long, who would be like a 14th round pick?
It was like Alec Pierce, like the dust ball on the
Colts. He's getting picked 100% of the time in rounds 14, 15, 16. Why are you taking this guy?
I never take him,
and you always take, I don't know, Jalen Warren or some guy you like.
You take Josh Downs instead. So you take,
there you go. Yeah. Jalen Warren 2 years ago, who you used to like.
You're acting like I turned on him.
You liked him at the time. But
now you're like, a Najee guy.
If you had your draft strategy now, but your Jalen Warren take 2 years ago, you would have been way overboard on him.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's kind of sucked though 2 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
I can't even remember. These seasons all kind of blend into one, but.
All right, Brian, good talk. Classic, episode of Lulz. I got to get, running here today, tonight. We will have the ship cast over on, Ship Chasing. Davis is actually going to be joining us. He's the world's biggest Cowboys fan. People do forget. He splits his fandom between the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Don't ever let him wiggle out of that one. So that'll be at 8:15. We'll get some pick'em, sweats up on, Twitter here in a little bit. Brian, what do you got going on at Brick 75? Other than people needing to check out the draft caddy, if you want to have a nice way to draft a bunch of teams in volume.
Yeah. Draft caddy. It works for battle royale. I use it. Going to use it this week for sure. I'm going to listen to the Swolecast after this. I still haven't listened.
You should.
I needed Ricky coming out this week. I'm going to have NFL ownership and projections this week. Use at your own risk. They're trying to be better than the industry standard, but no guarantees. And then if they are really good, I'm going to take them down. So use them now.
I already used this joke on Swolecast, but Brian, you providing these DFS ownership projections, it's your version of DFS effective altruism, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's going to turn out just as well, Riley Pete. So.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone hanging out in the chat. Apologies to those of you who showed up 30 minutes early, only to get rugged by me fat fingering the start time. Appreciate Tyler, as always, trying to drum up some more likes. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Brian and I are here every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, despite when I ever set the start time. Who knows? Maybe we'll get a guest next week. Maybe we'll just continue to raw dog it together for 60 minutes. That's how you bring things full circle. We'll see you guys next time.
Like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.